Good morning. Yes, indeed. Happy Saturday. Good morning. Well. Hello. Good morning. Yes, indeed. It is 9:30 a.m. ish, and I am ready to snitch. Yes, indeed. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning to you. Happy Saturday to you, and welcome. Wow. To morning tea and allegations. I made an executive decision right before I came on live, and I was like, this might be a great opportunity to kind of wrap this season three up, since this would be episode 11. And I titled this episode Help Wanted. And I am so thankful that y'all are here. Make sure that when you come in, that if you're watching the replay, that you let me know that you're watching, where you're watching from. I would like to know. Say hey in the comments. I greatly appreciate it. And I am so glad that you are here. Amen. Amen and amen. So a couple of things that we need to discuss immediately. We have to have our disclaimers. We need to have our church announcements. We need to have a lot of just kind of pre-work before we get started with today's discussion. So before we get started, I want to go ahead and run the disclaimer that I've had for season three. And I want you to please be intentional with the words that I am saying. Please be intentional with what is shown on your screen. Good morning. Good morning to you with your popcorn. You're going to need it because this is going to be a treat. And for those of you that are watching live, bring people in the room with you. Tag your friends, share, and let them know that we are live and that we are here. And if you're watching the replay, the same applies. Share it with your community. Share it with your people, because this information is very, very important. So before we get started, let's go ahead and play the disclaimer and let's get it going.
Thank you, church members, as we have additional announcements and disclaimers that require your full attention. I am a certified snitch and whistleblower that reports on what is happening in our community. Like I always say, people lie, receipts don't. With that stated, the content used in this programming is protected under fair use. In addition, the views and opinions on this programming belong to me. I hold myself accountable and prioritize accuracy and truthfulness in my communications. So unless you have receipts, don't start with me. God is still working on me. I love the block button to protect my peace, and I desire to snitch on everybody, including me. Thank you for your attention, and govern yourselves accordingly. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So y'all heard the disclaimer. Please govern yourselves accordingly with that message. So I want to go ahead and get started with our church announcements. Okay. And with our church announcements, there's a couple of things that I want to highlight. Number one, Watermark has published my new article, Unapologetically Me, From Pain to Purpose. And I really hope and pray that it inspires you to take an opportunity to reflect on what has your time, what has your energy, and really reflect on self-care and finding your purpose in the chaos in what we're living in. There's so much that is happening around us. And I just pray that we all can be better humans to one another, and that we can be better humans to ourselves. And so I want to put the link in the comments so that you can have an opportunity to read it yourself. But I want to just give a shout out to Watermark. Thank you for the opportunity to continue to write for your publication. And thank you for allowing me to be unapologetically me in writing. The next church announcement, amen, is we're going to move to the primary election dates. I need y'all to know what your voting status is. Do you know? Okay, this is the goal that I have. I would like for everyone to be intentional by the end of this month, Black History Month, on what your voting status is. So these are some key dates to remember for the primary election. The primary election, the deadline to request that ballot to be mailed is August 8th. And election day is August 20th. Now, if you need to change your party affiliation, you have until July 22nd to get that going. But please make sure that you know what your status is. Please make sure that you are intentional with these dates. And this is just for the primary election. The general election, we have different dates here. In the general election, the deadline to register to vote is October 7th. So please look at these dates here. Please be intentional and please know your status. It is very, very important that you know your status. And I am going to place the source link in the comments from the supervisors of elections so that you can look at this yourself and make sure that you are right where you need to be with your voting status. Amen, amen, amen. So next thing I do want to highlight for the church announcements is the Sunshine Education Coalition. They will be having their final event for the 28 Days of Empowered Youth, which will be Monday night at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right on their Facebook page, the Sunshine Education Coalition. And the title of that discussion is What Happened to the Village? And I hope that you are there for that much needed discussion. And you can watch all of their panel discussions on Facebook and the replay at the sunshineeducationcoalition.org. I just want to thank the Sunshine Education Coalition for being that organization, having those vital conversations about the school to prison pipeline. And I just thank them for allowing Teaching for the Culture to support them in their endeavors. Amen. So that concludes our church announcements, and I want you to please again govern yourselves accordingly with those announcements, but also with the disclaimers that were played earlier in this segment. Now, I do want to shift some gears a bit before we get started, because there are some conversations that we need to have in regards to Hillsborough County Public Schools and the stuff that is being exposed with that. So let me go ahead and get this together, because I do want to play an ad from one of our sponsors.
This podcast is sponsored by Make Snitching Great Again. MSGA, baby. Enough is enough. And it's time for accountability, transparency, and integrity. It's time to snitch. Save 10% by using coupon code PettyB. Visit us online by visiting snitchwithus.com.
Snitch.
Now back to the broadcast.
Yes, indeed. MSGA, baby. Yes, indeed. MSGA, baby. We are here. So I do want to add to the screen here about good old Toe Popper. If you don't remember who Toe Popper is, this is Jinka Alege. I've been talking about this individual for several years on this programming in regards to his relationship with children in feet. Mm-hmm. Jinka Alege was charged with simple battery for an alleged encounter at a gym in April 2021, and he was caught on camera rubbing a young man's foot. The judge in the case sentenced Alege to 1 year suspension with probation. This means that he will not serve jail time, but he will be monitored by a probation officer for a year. And he is required to complete 150 hours of community service. Slow blinks here. I just want to uplift just a moment here that this individual has been pulling children's toes and having inappropriate contact with children's feet, documented at least since 2009. And when this incident happened in a completely different state, he won't serve jail time. He has probation and he has to serve community service. With that being said, I want to thank Jenna with Channel 10 for always looping me in into her investigations. And I want to remind people that I worked with Jenna to expose this, because the question that a lot of us had was, why was he still allowed to work around children? And as of today, legally, he still is. So I do want to put the link in the comments so that you're able to see the article and watch the video yourself. But there are questions there, and I would like to know how you feel in the comments about him still being able to work around children, particularly for those who have been following this program for years. The next thing that I do want to shift to is in regards to some paycheck issues that have been flagged for us at Teaching for the Culture. Just to remind folks that people come to us regarding issues that they're having with their local school district. This is not just with Hillsborough County. This is pretty much statewide, but our main focus has been the Tampa Bay area because of just where we were located. Well, now we are located well beyond the Tampa Bay area, and so we're getting more messages from all over districts. But Hillsborough is a special place in my heart in particular because I worked in that school district. And the co-founders of Teaching for the Culture, two of them still work for the district, and another one who has left the district. All of us have some type of involvement with Hillsborough County Public Schools in one way, shape, or form in capacity. So Hillsborough will always be something that we're passionate about, particularly because it's the seventh largest school district in the nation and the third largest school district in the state of Florida. And we received messages that educators were having some paycheck discrepancies and were going back and forth with payroll in regards to them receiving their pay that they're rightfully deserved. And I do want to remind the people and to remind y'all that we've been fighting for our educators to get a raise, which they did not get a raise. They got paid what they were owed, and they're still owed more. And I do want to uplift the educators and the support staff and say that we are praying for you, that we are fighting for you. We are sending you love and light as you navigate this education system, because it is clearly not sustainable. And these are conversations that we have been having for years about the sustainability of public education and the fact that these educators are coming into some really dangerous environments and their paychecks are not in alignment with what they should be is very disrespectful. So there are some educators that might want to tell their story about this matter, whether that is anonymously or you actually want to share your name and your situation. And if you do, I am opening that platform for you to do that. And I want to just give you my email address so that you can make sure that you send that over to me. Okay, you ready? It is Bianca, B-I-A-N-C-A, at teachingfortheculture.com. That is Bianca, B-I-A-N-C-A, at teachingfortheculture.com. I would love to hear your stories. I would love to amplify your stories, whether you want to be anonymous or not. But if you're having issues, we need to know about it so that we can amplify it for you, because enough is enough. And we already know the retaliation that happens in our school district, in our school system. And so we are well aware. Thank you, Kimberlyn, for putting that in the comments. Bianca, B-I-A-N-C-A, at teachingfortheculture.com. We want to hear from you. So let's shift gears outside of Hillsborough County. There's some conversations that we need to have in regards to HB1, which is the social media bill. I am very passionate about this, and so I just want to give a disclaimer at the very beginning of my passion in regards to this matter. If you have been following this program for quite some time, you are very well aware of my passion regarding the safety of children online, and I have shared different policy suggestions that could help make this safer for our children to navigate online, and also educating parents and caregivers on tools and things that they can do to also help their children be safe online. This has been my mission, God's calling for me, and I've been doing this work for quite some time. The reason why I'm sharing all of this is because there are some backstory to this social media bill that if I didn't share, no one would know, because it's my story. On the screen here on the left, this is State Representative Soroy. On May 25th, 2020, just want to say that again, May 25th, 2020, I met with State Representative Soroy in the Spouses Lounge of the Florida House. We had an intentional conversation about deliberate measures that can be taken regarding social media regulation aimed to ensuring the online safety of children. For context, just for timeline, this was before my open heart surgery. So I met him May 25th, 2022. I'm sorry if I said 2020. It was May 25th, 2022 when we had this conversation, okay? To the right, you'll see content that I have been working on, going to different events, sharing with parents apps that they need to be aware of, and providing them the resources so that they can set up parental controls so that they can help protect their children online, okay? When I met with Representative Soroy, my ex-wife was present. I bring her up in this conversation because I wouldn't have met Representative Soroy if it wasn't for my ex-wife, Representative Rayner. Representative Rayner had told Representative Soroy that she had no idea about social media regulation, that that was something that was my wheelhouse, that I have been working on this, and that we can all work together to pass a bipartisan bill to make sure that our children are safe online. That happened in May of 2022. When that happened, we started to send correspondence back and forth with one another about different things that different states were doing in regards to this regulation. I want to share with you I want to share with you a video of this process as it happened, because I think it's very important to establish context as to how this bill was originally created, the changes of this bill, and where we are now. So on my screen, I'm going to go ahead and share what happened with HB 591.
And we are now back on the, Representative Rayner, we're now back on the bill as amended. Members, are there questions of Representative Rayner on the bill as amended? Questions on the bill as amended? Seeing none, we'll now take public testimony on the bill as amended. Bianca Goolsby, Teach for the Culture. Ms. Goolsby, you're recognized.
Good afternoon, and thank you for the opportunity to speak to you about this bill. My name is Bianca Goolsby, and I'm the founder of Teaching for the Culture. Demanding accountability, transparency, and integrity is my mission, and HB 591 is a step in the right direction. I am honored to serve as the chair of the Cyber Task Force for the 7th largest school district in the nation and the 3rd largest in the state of Florida. As such, I take my role in providing oversight in both classroom content and student electronic devices very seriously. Over 5 billion people across the world uses the internet. Over 4 billion uses social media. Pew Research Center reports that YouTube was the most popular platform among teens. 95% of teens are reporting that they use it. In second place was TikTok. TikTok has been questioned as a national security risk for almost 3 years now. Casey Newton, an investigative journalist, exposed the Content Moderation Center operating in Tampa, Florida. The Tampa site was the lowest performing in North America, and our Floridians that worked in the building broke their NDAs to expose the awful working conditions and shared how harmful content they were moderating impacted their mental health. This bill has the accountability needed to hold technology companies accountable to protect minors. Furthermore, this legislation will empower our state government to issue penalties and fines against companies that do not comply with the new regulations. By enacting this legislation, we can ensure that technology providers are doing their due diligence to protect children from inappropriate content or activities that could be detrimental to their mental health. We must continue to prioritize our children's safety in all aspects of their lives, including online. It is my hope that other states across the country will follow Florida's example and enact similar legislation to protect the children of the state. Together, we can create a world where our children are protected online and offline. Thank you for your support in this legislation.
Thank you, Ms. Goolsbee. Our next speaker is Barney Bishop, Florida Smart Justice Alliance. He is a proponent of the bill. That concludes public testimony. Members, we are now in debate on the bill. Representative Robinson, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, when I think of great bipartisan pieces of legislation, I go back in history to the 1787 Great Compromise, the 1973 Endangered Species Act, and the 1990 Americans with Disability Act. Very important pieces of legislation and compromises. But I think this Rainer Goolsbee Soroy Act may join that list, Mr. Chairman, and bill sponsor. So thank you for that.
Well said, Representative Robinson. Thank you very much. Representative Valdez, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Chair Soroy, and thank you, Rep. Rainer Goolsbee, for bringing forward this bill to keep our children safe. We know the effects that social media has had with our students, specifically in the classroom, and some of the competition that it creates that is sometimes unhealthy. I am glad to be up on this bill and can't wait to see it move through its process and hopefully get to the governor's desk. So great job on this bill. Thank you.
Members, we're in debate. Any further debate? Seeing none, Representative Rainer Goolsbee, before I recognize you to close, I just want to mention what a privilege it has been to work with you on this important legislation. You know, we've talked extensively about the impacts that social media platforms are having on the health and safety of our children. And, you know, we've also talked extensively about you know, and I've shared with you my view that I don't think that government is a substitute for parents. But when it comes to the health and safety of our children, there's a role for us to play. And I think that this bill goes a long way to address some of the things that we've seen in terms of suicide rates, the impact that social media platforms are having on the body image of young girls, videos of horrible things that we've seen coming out of our schools. And the challenges that our young people are facing in terms of their health. So thank you very much for your work on this bill, and you're recognized to close.
Thank you so much, Mr. Chair. And before I close, I just want to also thank staff, committee staff. Thank you so much for your hard work on this bill. I also want to thank my aides and Chair Soroy's aides. I feel like they have gone back and forth on this bill just as much as we have. So I want to thank them for their hard work. You know, as this was mentioned, you know, the terms and conditions on social media platforms indicate they have to keep this information, but there has been no accountability to make them provide us this information and to really make sure that they are doing right by our children here in Florida. And this bill was really born out of the need to protect children. My wife was an educator in the classroom, and she saw what children had on their phones, seventh grade young girls in horrible situations with 30-year-old men and their parents not knowing because they didn't know how to get into their cell phones and things of that nature. And it's incumbent upon us, while we have the ability to do that, to make sure that we can protect our children, because our children deserve the best that we can give them. And I am hopeful to have your favorable support.
Thank you, Representative. Ben, please call the roll.
I do want to share a comment from one of the co-founders of Teaching for the Culture. She's watching on YouTube, Kimberlyn. She says, I remember being very excited about this bill. This was bipartisan support, and it seemed it was going in the right direction. And it was. There was no conversation about banning any children having access to the platform. It was more of holding the companies accountable for them following their terms of service, that they are going to make sure that they have content moderation policies in place so that minors are not being shown things that they should not see. That was the bill. So things have changed with the bill, obviously, and obviously I'm no longer in the picture. So with that being stated, the House and the Senate approved a social media ban that would prohibit users under 16 of age from creating a new account on a social media platform, and requires a social media platform to use. And this information is starting directly from, because I just want to make sure that I have the paperwork in front of me so that there's no confusion. It is on line 115. It states that either anonymous age verification method or a standard method must be used to verify age. Okay. Now, I do want to share some clips in regards to the discussion regarding this proposal, these amendments. I have some shout outs to give in regards to the questions that people had asked regarding the new language of this bill and how it's being presented now. So let's go ahead and roll some of that for y'all.
And we are now back.
The sites that are used for educational purposes like Khan Academy, YouTube, where they get the tutoring. So I wanted you to go ahead and explain for the record the educational exemptions and how that works. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Saroy or others, would you entertain this question, please?
Mr. Speaker, I yield to Representative McFarland.
Representative McFarland, you're recognized to answer Representative Bartleman.
Thank you, Mr. for your commitment to education, and we share that commitment to education. As Representative Saroy mentioned, we've got a great definition of what a social media company is. It's going to get stronger with some amendments that may be coming soon. And we have a specific exemption for education platforms, for ed tech, edutainment, anything that's in the educational sphere. We've got a specific exemption for those type of platforms. But again, even if there were no exemptions, the content that every parent likes that their kids are using for educational purposes would not meet the definition of addictive design features or infinite scroll or tracking of account holders.
Representative Bartleman, you're recognized for a follow-up.
Just thank you, Mr. Chair. And just because I had speakers, kids in my office today, they were especially concerned about YouTube, because YouTube, they have AP class tutoring that are actually in videos, and that's not the educational site, but they would have to go to YouTube to access those tutoring tools. Thank you.
Representative McFarland at Representative Saroy's desk.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And Representative Bartleman, I think it's important that we not malign any specific company as we talk about the protections under this bill. But again, our definition of a social media company under the bill as it currently is, and I mentioned it'll strengthen shortly, it talks about tracking or interacting with other users or account holders, uploading content, social media companies that are able to track the activity of an account holder. So if what I'm describing sounds like a tech that you have in mind, it's worth future discussion on this.
Representative Gant, you're recognized for a question or series.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My question is regarding parental consent. Is there a parental opt-in or opt-out provision in the bill?
Representative Saroy, you're recognized.
No.
Follow-up. Representative Gant, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. For minors who are currently social media influencers and make money off of their presence online, will they be restricted from continuing in that economic endeavor?
Representative Saroy, you recognize.
Yes.
Follow up. Representative Eskimani, back to you.
So I want to make sure that everyone is on the same page with what you're hearing in regards to this very broad bill, okay? I do want to share with you some highlights that I have in regards to this bill so that you know that this bill is requiring certain platforms to prohibit certain minors, not all minors, certain minors, so that's under the age of 16, from creating new accounts. And they want it to be verified, and they want their age to be verified. And they're not specifying how they want their age to be verified, but some of these lawmakers don't know the tech that is required to run age verification methods. And so there is a lot just with the age verification piece that I do want to uplift in regards to this bill. When we're talking about age verification, it requires a technology system to run it in most cases, which means if they're verifying age, and if it's not a user base where I'm over the age of 16 and they're hitting it on their device, that is what is called a device-based verification. But they want to have a third-party system verification. And the lawmakers are saying that we need to have reasonable measures for this third-party system. They're not specifying the companies to work with. They're not specifying the methods in which this company is going to collect this information and actually verify. And also, there's no account for the bottlenecks and the cybersecurity concerns with this method. There are people that are on social media now that will have a fake account of them set up, and they flag that fake account and it's not taken down. So questions are, how intentional will this third-party system verification be to verify every single user on the platform to make sure that in the state of Florida, at least, that every single user in the state of Florida is under the age of 16 and that is done with fidelity? When asked about these matters, which you can go to the Florida channel to watch the discussion more about this, the answers that some of these lawmakers provided were not substantive enough to provide clear answers on how this was going to get done. They just assumed that it's going to get done. Technology will be able to verify these ages. But are we going to have to scan IDs? Are we going to have to scan faces? So who is going to be responsible in collecting that data? And where does that data go? And how would that be protecting our children when we are providing this information? And how will we prevent people from extracting and hacking said information? There's no clear answers on that. And there are several organizations that are in the tech space that are saying that the lawmakers on this got it wrong. They have it wrong. Going back to the bill, it is very broad. It is overreaching and is potentially unconstitutional. Some of the other things in regards to this bill is that if there's any violation, they want to enforce civil penalties up to $50,000. Not only that, but now we're saying that if a child has an account and they're 15 years old and this bill passes and the governor signs it, Well, the bill has already passed. Let me be very intentional with how I'm phrasing this. When the governor signs it, if he signs it, that there will be 15-year-old children and below, obviously, and under, that will have to actually delete their social media account. Well, by them deleting their account, then that comes into First Amendment issues and constitutional issues. And so the way that this bill has been written, the way that this bill reads, these 15 pages of documents that I've read, right? So I don't want people to think that this is just, you know, me not liking the bill because I'm not married to Michelle anymore. I got nothing to do with that. But what we are going to do is we're going to say the truth about the creation of this bill, the conversations about the creation of this bill, and the work that was done in regards to this bill. And then we're also going to have a conversation about how this bill reads now. And people need to vote no. People need to reach out to their lawmakers and say, no, this is not what we want. There are polls that are being circulated around where families are saying, no, I would like parental choice. And even amendments were filed to provide parental choice that were taken down. Mm-hmm. So if you want to see the text of the bill yourself, I got you, baby. Okay. I am posting that link in the comments so that you can read the bill yourself, so that you're not just basing this on what I'm saying or what I've read several times in order to prepare for this show today, but you can go read it yourself and you can form your own conclusions. But I do want to give a shout out. I do want to give a shout out to Representative Anna Eskamani. I want to give a shout out to Angie Nixon, State Representative Angie Nixon. Okay. I want to give a shout out to the lawmakers that pushed back on this bill, that had great amendments about this bill. I want to give a shout out to State Senator Chevron Jones, where he's like, no, this is not what we should be doing. In the Senate, most of the Democratic senators doubt that the bill would even survive the legal scrutiny, and took issue with the bill not having an exception for parental permission. There's some more that I want to share with you in regards to some of the commentary that was shared in regards to the bill. So let me go ahead and get to the receipts so that we can share that. So 1 second here. All right, here we go. So giving a shout out to State Representative Ashley, Representative Gant. Again, she is fighting for parental choice. And I just want y'all to hear what happens when she is fighting for parental choice, which, mind you, this has been a whole theme of this legislature. Give parents the choice. Parents need to choose. Okay, we are the free state of Florida. Parents need to choose. And now there's an option for parents to choose. And this was the response. Let's go ahead and roll it.
From the Arkansas bill that recently passed that is similar to this bill. And the point of this language is to allow parental consent. So in this bill, there is no option for parents to make the ultimate decision for their child. And so this amendment.
Members, please give Representative Gant your undivided attention, please.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So this amendment gives parents the choice.
Representative Gant, having explained her amendment, questions of Representative Gant. Questions of Representative Gant on barcode amendment 160583. Representative Nixon, you rise in questions.
Thanks, Mr. Speaker. Rep. Gant, what's the purpose of this? I'm really not understanding.
I love how they did this.
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank you, Rep. Nixon, for that question. So the purpose of the language in this bill is for parents to make the decision as to whether or not their children will have access. And it also goes to the question that I asked regarding social media influencers. If a child does make money from social media, we don't know how that can economically impact families. And if a family is dependent on that money, then this amendment would allow the parents to have the option to make that ultimate decision for their child.
Further questions? Further questions? Representative Hanshawski, you're recognized in a question.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And Representative Gant, could you please explain why you chose the age of 18 versus the age of 16?
Representative Gant.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank you, Rep. Hanshawski, because we all know as a society that under 18, they are considered children. So because everyone under 18 is considered a child across the board, that is the reason I chose the age 18 to signify that they are children. Thank you for that question.
Yes, indeed. That is State Representative Ashley Gant. And I, again, just am very thankful for her and her amendments and how she stood in regards to this issue. It is something that people need to be intentional with because, whoa, it is wild what is happening in our state legislature. And I need people to be more intentional, which is why at the very beginning, I highlighted the date so that you can be aware of voting dates so that your voice can be heard and that you know your voter registration status because it matters. There is another clip that I wanted to share in regards to the conversations in regards to the bill, particularly because there was conversations about the constitutionality of the bill and how it would impact the state. Maybe there would be legal fees that would need to be paid because people would fight for this issue since there's a lot of conversations about its constitutionality. And so I just want to play a clip from what a co-sponsor of the bill said in regards to First Amendment rights.
Control here. Representative Rayner, you're recognized. Answer the question and please start the clock.
Thank you so much, Mr. Speaker. And Representative Escamani, thank you so much for your patience. I went a little bit to law school. One of the things that I wanted to make sure I was clear on that, first off, courts have generally taken a broad interpretation of their Commerce Clause. And so when we're thinking about it in this scenario, what we believe is that the Commerce Clause is actually not going to be impacted, and that this may be something that is kind of left up to individual states. However, we do know that the federal government is also taking a very serious look that is somewhat similar to what the other states in the country are doing, but we don't believe that the Commerce Clause actually affects this part of this piece of legislation.
Representative Gant, did you have one more question? You're recognized to bring us home.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Are there any First Amendment concerns regarding this bill?
Representative Rayner, on the First Amendment concerns.
There are no First Amendment concerns. And as an aside, I grew up in a household where my mama told me that until I paid some bills at her house, I didn't really have any First Amendment rights.
I don't think we can entertain anything else after what her mama said.
Yeah, so I will just say this. There are First Amendment issues with this. Why Mama Rayner was brought into it and then subsequently was upset because people were talking about it was beyond me. Truthfully, y'all can go see what happened on Twitter. As Gen Z was like, what does your mama have anything to do with this bill? You're trying to take social media away from me and your excuses, your parenting. That's what they got. That's what they heard. They didn't like it and they responded. And so these are the conversations that are happening, people, regarding this bill. There are questions. What is the intentional plan for enforcement? How will this be enforceable? The reason why I asked about the enforceability is because we have a bill. HB 379. If y'all don't know about that bill, that is the technology in K-12 public schools. This bill blocks social media from being used at school. And I just want to ask my fellow educators that are on the live or watching the replay, y'all have social media at your school? The kids on social media, and some of them are using the actual network of the school district in order to get access to, you know, these social media platforms. So can y'all help me? Because maybe I don't know. Educators, can y'all just let people know in the comments what school is like with social media now? Because we have HB 379 that is already implemented, already signed by the governor, and we have no control with social media. We have an educator that is watching live that says, yes, the kids are on social media during school hours, which is against HB 379, which was already signed by the governor. So again, the question is, what is the intentional plan for enforcement? How is this bill enforceable? Questions that I had personally was, would Meta, TikTok, and other related companies block Florida from having access to their platform? The example I have is with Pornhub. So there are certain states that are requiring different type of verification, not device-based verification, where you can just click on your device and verify, that they actually want a system to where they can actually validate and make sure that you are that proper age. Well, Pornhub said, you know what, you don't have to have access to our site. You know why? Because we know the people that want access to our site are going to get on a VPN, and they're going to get on our site in your state regardless. And that's exactly what's happening. So in Virginia, they closed down the Pornhub site. But if you go to a VPN in Virginia, you have access right to that website. And that's exactly what is going to happen when this bill gets signed by the governor, if it does, which brings me to this point. Hours before this bill was headed to the governor's desk, this is what he said. So let me roll the clip.
It's still under negotiation. We're working. I understand it's important to the speaker. You know, I tell all the legislative leaders, I want you guys to be helpful. I mean, I want you guys to be successful. So if something's important to you, I want to try to get it done. But I also think that there are legitimate issues that got to be worked out in that. And I'm somebody that looks at it and says, okay, 13 and under, federal law already says you can't have a social media account. That's not really enforced by the federal government. And I'm fine with saying let's have enforcement. You know, as you get into 14 and 15, I think net it's harmful for them to be on some of those platforms that have certain functionality that is addictive. I agree with that. But I also believe that that parents need to have a role in this. So we're working to make sure that there's a role for parent. You can say it's disfavored or not allowed for 14, 15, but a parent, you know, has the right to opt in if they think. Because as much as I think it's harmful to have people on these social media platforms for 5 or 6 hours a day, you know, a parent can supervise a kid to use it more sparingly. And so we can't say 100% of the uses are bad, because it's not. And I'm a critic of social media, but I have to look at this from a parent's perspective. So we're working through those. I don't think it's there yet. Hopefully we'll be able to get there in a way that I think answers the concerns that a lot of folks have, because I do think parents are concerned about social media and what goes on there. And I do think they think it's a problem. But I also think that for people that are, you know, in high school, it's not as simple. I think you got to have some parent involvement.
And so now the clock starts ticking. Governor Ron DeSantis has 6 days to respond back in regards to this bill. And so I'll follow up and let you know what he does, whether he signs it or he doesn't sign it. So shifting away from that a bit, I do want to know your comments and how you feel about this bill. Do you think that HB 1 is a good bill? Yes or no? Would you vote on this bill? How would you vote on this bill? I would like to know, and I would like to have a discussion in regards to that. And I would love for you to place that in the comments when you are watching this on the replay, or for those that are live with me now as I'm recording it. I would love to know your thoughts. Like I said, shifting in that, there have been representatives that have came forward with their own statements in regards to how they feel about this bill. I, again, want to give shout out to State Representative Anna Eskamani, who really did some really intentional work with some of the amendments that she filed to make this bill better. But unfortunately, those were struck down. And so it's just very interesting. And she brings up a great point about how the state legislature wanted to prohibit tech companies from deplatforming individuals. Remember when there was a whole conversation about removing 45 from the social media platforms because of the things he were saying that was causing harm to people, and we can't deplatform people, but yet here we are deplatforming children under the age of 15. And while the conversation about the safety of social media is important, there are other ways that could have, we could have done this in a different way, okay? The way that this bill is written. Also, Congressman Maxwell Frost also issued a statement in regards to his opposition of this bill and the way that it's written. And there are so many more that have came forward in regards to their opposition in regards to the bill. And an educator is here on the live that says that this will not be easily enforced. Absolutely right, because there's a bill already passed, HB 379, that's not enforced, about social media in our schools. So this is why we need to really have intentional conversations, and why people who have expertise in the matter need to be the ones leading the conversation. Okay. Speaking of children and social media and apps and all of that, I do want to have a conversation about Roblox for a second. For morning teen allegations, I usually always end with some type of check the cell phone conversation of parents, please be intentional with your child's cell phone. And I'm still going to have that same energy here. Roblox. Roblox wants to move beyond having a just a place for kids to play. And in fact, they've actually discussed having it be a dating spot for people 17 and up. Okay. I just want to share the receipt here, and I'll put the link in the comments. During one of the conferences that the Roblox had, it was the developers conference. During the keynote, the CEO had predicted that thousands of adults would meet and form relationships and dating experiences on the platform, on Roblox. So, this is here, okay? Roblox is gonna become a dating app, according to the CEO. Because he says that he predicts that thousands of adults will meet and form real life relationships and dating experiences on the platform. This is what your children are on. They're playing games on Roblox. And the CEO of this game says that it's turning into a dating app. By the way, it's beyond a game. It is actually a social media experience, which then questions are, okay, well, based on the text of this bill here, and as it defines a social media platform, Roblox actually meets all of the standards as listed as written here. And so will children 16 and under not be able to have access to Roblox? Well, if you ask the state representatives who co-sponsored the bill, how or what companies we're talking about here, they haven't been very transparent. They don't want to talk about different companies' names, and they claim that misaligning them. But if they're causing harm and you want to hold them accountable, telling the truth and saying their name is not misaligning them at all. And so it's giving selective outrage and participation. It's giving, we want to pass legislation to keep kids safe, but we don't really know what we're doing. It's giving, vote no. I hope that the governor votes no and says that we need to bring this back with some more intentional focus, with more tech players involved, because the legislators, they got it wrong. Okay. And so while all of this is happening, the House and the Senate was rolling back protections for 16 to 17 year olds, where now 16 and 17 year olds can work on construction sites and a whole bunch of things that at one point they weren't eligible to do because we had to keep kids safe. This is all happening in our state legislature right now. So I'm just wondering what y'all think about the matter. As I always say, parents, I need you to be intentional caregivers. I need you to be intentional. These conversations are great, and I'm glad that we're having them. I have been advocating for the safety of children on these online spaces for years. And like I stated at the very beginning and the inception of this bill, conversations about this bill, I was right there and present and met with the lawmakers in regards to this bill. And it is a slap in the face. I feel like that this bill is what it is now. I don't take it personally, but I do want to let you know that I do feel very personal about it. I have passionate about it because I care about our children. I care about the safety of our children. And I've been in this work and this fight for years. And for anyone co-opting and claiming otherwise, that is fraudulent. The last thing that I do want to say before I end this broadcast is in regards to the trademark dispute that I was talking about yesterday on live, and that is with Teach for the Culture versus Teaching for the Culture. Today, I've made it my mission to make some vital updates to the website, and I do want you to check back to the website so that you can see the calls to actions that we have for you. We want you to share Teaching for the Culture. We want you to advocate for Teaching for the Culture. For those who support and have been in this work and have benefited from the works of Teaching for the Culture, we need your voice. We need statements. We need you to show up and show out for us and support us. We also need financial support. As I just shared yesterday on live, you can go back to see the replay if you missed it, but we just paid our trademark attorney $5,000. How we're going to get all of this money back from what we've been expending in this situation, I only know that God will provide, but we need your help and your support in that. This trademark dispute has been something that has been eating me up inside because of the way that Teaching for the Culture has been created, and our co-founders are not standing for it, and we are going to continue to stand up and fight for what is right. We might change our name due to the results of this, but however, we're still going to advocate for what's right. And that means that we're going to hold Shauna Brown of Teach for the Culture accountable for how she has been conducting herself and how her counsel has been conducting themselves as it relates to this matter. And so please check back to the website. I will give you updates on this live in particular on when the website modifications will be done so that you can go and support. I do have my Cash App below if you do want to Cash App me directly. A lot of the trademark fees paid by the attorney was through me directly as the founder. And so if you do want to support, my Cash App is listed below for you to do that. And I thank you in advance for that. This has been a long episode, and I thank you for your time and attention watching this. I thank you for sharing this information. I thank you for your love and support. We need to make sure that we are intentional. And like this episode is titled, Help is Wanted. Help is wanted with making sure that we are passing laws that make sense. Because while we're having this vital conversation about a social media ban, I'm not sure how many of you had your property insurance increase, or your car insurance increase, or just even the cost of goods that was one price at one time and now is completely increased. The sustainability of living in Florida is something that is very different now. A lot of people can't afford to stay and live in Florida anymore. We have children that are staying in some very dangerous environments right now. But I'm glad to be back in this fight. I'm glad to be using my voice, and I am going to always unapologetically speak truth to power. And I'm going to say the thing, even if it hurts, but it's the truth. And I'm going to have my receipts because, as I always say, people lie, receipts don't. So I hope that y'all have an amazing Saturday. I hope that you have an amazing week. I hope that you take this opportunity and reflect in finding your purpose. I hope that you have an opportunity to read my article that is published in The Watermark, From Pain to Purpose. I hope that you have an opportunity to see the amazing things that we are doing at Teaching for the Culture and beyond, to not only protecting our children, but also amplifying the voices of our educators, our support staff, and the people in the community that are doing the work to help our children. Because if we say our children matter, then we need to not have selective outrage and participation in regards to that. And if we're going to be out here speaking about things, please make sure that you are intentional about that and you have these receipts. Otherwise, you're going to have people that call you out, and you can't be upset about that fact because you're loud and wrong. I love y'all so, so much, and I just thank you again. And until next time, peace.
Woo. Let's get it. People lie, receipts don't. People lie, receipts don't. People lie, receipts don't. You better get your receipts on them. People lie, receipts don't. People lie, receipts don't. People lie, receipts don't. Petty B gon' always keep her receipts.